Welcome to the Level with Shanzi podcast. I'm going to take you guys through my quarter life crisis and share the lessons I've learned throughout my journey and the stories I've come across. So what prompted my quarter life crisis was realizing that the formula my parents passed down to me as first generation immigrants was outdated. So this is how the formula goes. Study, get a job, get married, have kids, buy a house, wait for pension and then enjoy retirement. But us late 90s kids, who could have predicted the internet? Bye-bye formula and hello digital income. Our doing regular schmegular jobs was not making you enough money. Everybody's got a degree nowadays, so you're not even standing out in the job market. And that job market is drier than my phone right now. So employers now want someone with a degree and someone with job experience. But if you've got job experience with no degree or a degree with no job experience, then they don't want you. Like, make it make sense. But you know what? I didn't suffer any of that. I had different adversities in life, but amongst my chaotic life, I managed to bag a master's and a government job in my field. So why wasn't I happy? I'll tell you why. Because there are people who are younger than me that came straight out of secondary school munching on carrots, sounding like Bugs Bunny, and tapping their nails against their phone, making ASMR videos, who are garnering millions of views, who are making more money than me. And alhamdulillah to them, innit? Props to them, they found their niche. But are you telling me I went through degree, work, I went through the treacherous life of a student eating pot noodles in my room just for someone to be going on a mic making more money than me? Nah, this can't be it. Also, corporate life is just so toxic. No one tells you that you could finish doing your degree and everything and you're back in secondary school where there are politics, people who are climbing above you, employees who are on your level pretending to be your manager and telling you what to do and you just got to sit there. Then you've got the work snitch, you've got people just watching you. Like, you can't even breathe. And the problem with where I am currently in my department is there's a lack of opportunity to progress. Like, the people who are senior to me in their roles, they're not moving. They're not going to move. It's a hybrid job. They get to work from home 2 days a week. They're just chilling. The work is not that hard. They ain't leaving till retirement. And I'm not waiting like that. Plus, honestly, the people who are doing the bare minimum, they're getting all this round of applause. And I'm sitting here clapping my hands like a seal, like, ooh, look at me. Nah, I was like, I'm not doing this no more. I'm working for me. I mean, I'm still working. I haven't handed in my resignation and I'm not a millionaire yet. But the day that happens, I'm going to be like, bye, Felicia. The other thing I want to talk about as well is, this is going to be such a controversial topic, but I feel like ethnic minorities have to work harder than their white counterparts. Now, I'm just saying. Then I came to realize, where has life taken me? Where has corporate life taken me? It's sucked the soul out of me. So I've decided I'm going to jump on this bandwagon of making a podcast and document my journey of my escape from the matrix and break free of the formula. So according to this formula and being South Asian, I should be married by now. So let me tell you where I am with that, since most of you listening in might be in the same boat. I'm 26 years old and I am nowhere near marriage. So my ovaries right now are collecting dust. According to the Red Pill community and old school Asians, I'm reaching my expiry date and passing my prime. But that's the bullshit one, yellow. So I decided, I'm going to scroll through the internet and get a different opinion. So the internet is telling me that the 30s are the new 20s and I'm entering my prime. So is that also the bullshit one? I don't know. We're going to have to find out. But honestly, being South Asian and 26 or mid-20s to late 30s is a very weird stage to be in, because you've got some of your friends who are married with kids, so you're already an auntie, and you've probably got siblings who are either older than you or younger than you who are also getting married, and you're just here like, what do I do? All your married friends with kids will give you different advices. Some of them will be like, oh, marriage is so beautiful and motherhood is so beautiful. Get married while you're young, while you can, while you're fresh. Yeah, fresh. And some of the brothers are probably like to their friends, bro, get married innit while you're young and that, because when you get married, yeah, you got a missus and that, she's gonna clean and cook for you, you're never lonely, she's gonna iron your clothes and that, bro, because mate, it's a blessing. Then you've got the ones who regret getting married young, and they're like to you, girl, live your life, like go find yourself, heal, do your inner work, take your time, find your partner, then get married, because you don't know a person until you live with them. So you're getting all these different advices like, yeah, bro, get married and it's sick. And then you've got the other ones that are like, no, wait, because motherhood will literally age you. So what do you do? Then you've got the unrealistic expectation that Instagram and movies have set out for you of what marriage and love is like. So you don't even know what you want anymore. You're not willing to settle for anyone. You feel like, you know what, I've gone through most of life now. Why should I settle for someone and just marry any Tom, Dick or Harry? And then you get the uncles and aunties saying, you have to compromise. Marriage is about compromise. You won't always find your prince. You know, like see my auntie, you know, when she's like, you will only get 70%, you know, maybe 60%. The rest you have to compromise only. Like, bitch, you're telling me after all of this, I have to compromise. Like, where do I go? Then this is what I like to call the social media effect, where you have couples who have angel faces, absolutely adorable kids living in these big houses, going on these fancy dates, doing all these little prank videos, and they look like they have the perfect lives. So now you're sandwiched between pressure and unrealistic expectations, between compromising and not wanting to settle. What are we? We're an idiot sandwich. At this point, right, you might have had failed talking stages, failed relationships, situations. You might have even tried to get engaged. That hasn't worked out. Or simply you married, you jumped the gun and you got divorced. And for some of you guys, you're like, what's the point of even meeting anyone else? Why bother? You're going to marry your cousin anyway. Arranged marriage is kind of looking just say, you know, we're running out of options. We're reaching that age. We're panicking, we're about to settle, we're about to jump the gun and go for arranged marriage, because arranged marriage is looking way better than this cesspool of dating. This cesspit of dating. Like, yeah, you want to go on a late night drive, babes? Like, what you saying, you know, we get some chai and that. Like, I'm just trying to get to know you, babes, innit? Just see what you're about and that, and then we can see where it goes, innit? You want to go Billions Lounge and get a pipe? Honestly, I have become so drained and confused. And I don't know who to blame anymore, because then you've got people who are saying it's the feminists' fault that it's hard for women to get married now because they no longer want someone who earns less than them and they have expectations to be taken care of and they don't want to settle, or they want that 50-50 lifestyle. Whereas men, they want a wife who will protect the home, create peace, be a mum, be a housewife, or simply, you know, just be obedient and submissive. But it's not happening anymore because women have now entered the workforce and we're kind of equal. Then you've got the strong, independent ladies who blame the men for this because men have become way too feminine and have put women into their masculine era. And now women are able to fend for themselves. They're hyper independent. They feel like they don't need a man to, you know, help them settle. They feel like they can do everything on their own. And then it leads to the epidemic of loneliness and, you know, mothers who are single or women who aren't able to get married. It's just a very difficult stage in life. Upbringing can also have an effect on your decision to get married and the reasons why you're not. You could create attachment styles in your life which are sabotaging your chances of getting with someone, or the fact that, you know, some people have seen their parents' marriage break apart and so they've lost faith in the idea of marriage, or they haven't seen a healthy relationship, hence why they enter these toxic relationships, get burnt out and want to leave. It's like people don't know how to communicate anymore because of what they've seen. They don't know how to believe in love and how to create healthy relationships and bonds, which is why it leads to a fatal crash. I think that's quite prevalent and important to talk about is the family dynamics and how it influences you growing up, such as single parent households, toxic family members, attachment styles, and unhealthy relationships and boundaries with parents and their children. You know, like mummy's boys and parents who have a high influence in who you get married to. I feel like in the Asian community, families are a big reason why children aren't able to get married, because it's all about honor, culture, respect. So where, you know, then they blame you for why you're not getting married. And then the person they suggest for you, you don't want to marry them, but you feel like you have no choice because your parents aren't letting you marry anyone else. I feel like this warrants a whole episode on itself of why it's hard to get married in your 20s and 30s in this age and society, and why it's hard to follow the formula. Let's just bring this back to me. So, like I mentioned, I'm not married. I'm nowhere near getting married. Have I been close to marriage before? Yes. Has it worked out? No. And I feel like that is a whole episode on its own. I would love to tell you guys my experiences with the opposite gender, how talking stages have gone, relationships, and, you know, the fact that I was almost close to getting engaged and how that fell through. It is very hard. Honestly, it's hard to do everything in this day and age, you know, trying to find the perfect person for you. So that's why I adopted therapy, to find out what I can change about myself and improve myself in order to be able to find a good enough partner for me. There are things that my psychiatrist taught me, such as negotiables and non-negotiables. And I think this is very important for all of us nowadays who are looking for a partner. What are some things that you're able to negotiate on if your partner doesn't have? And what are some things that you would not negotiate on? For me, something that I can negotiate on are physical features such as height, so the way someone looks, you know, maybe they're earning a little bit. Stuff like that, I feel like I can negotiate. But my non-negotiables are personality, like someone who has anger issues, someone who can't communicate, stuff like that, I guess. I also discovered through counselling and therapy that I have something called anxious attachment style and fearful avoidance style, and I digress between the two. So I am currently working on healing my childhood trauma, my adult trauma, and learning to forgive myself in order to get rid of the feelings of guilt and shame so that I can move on in life. Because I think what holds us back in life is actually our past. It's not the fear of a future. It's the fear that the past has created, which is sabotaging our future. This actually reminds me of a Avatar The Last Airbender quote from Uncle Iroh, where he says to Zuko, "You must let go of your feelings of shame if you want your anger to go away." And I think that is what was sabotaging me for a very long time. I had feelings of shame from my past, which caused me to be angry and lash it out on the next person that was with me because I had so many insecurities. So I have taken the advice of what my friends who are married have said to me, which were, find yourself first and explore yourself. Heal, get to know who you are as a person, because at the end of the day, the longest relationship you're going to have in life, besides with your creator, is with yourself. So you need to be kind to yourself. You need to be good to yourself. You need to love yourself. You need to learn who you are, reparent yourself in order to live a fruitful life. Because when you get married to someone, you're not just the only person who your life decisions and moods affect. You are now responsible for another person and how they feel, and you have to take their feelings into account when you do anything. So if you've not mastered your own emotions and understood yourself as a person, how do you expect someone else to? We put way too many expectations on another person to come fulfill us and complete us in our lives. But we don't do that for ourselves first. You will never find satisfaction and fulfillment in another person until you face yourself in the mirror and make a change. You have to become the change you want to see around you. And that's what I'm doing today by recording this podcast and publishing this episode. I'm making a change in my life so that I can look to a brighter future. Thanks for tuning in. See you guys in the next episode.